Would you pray with me? The prayer of illumination. Lord, open our minds and hearts as we listen to your word. Amen. I'm reading today from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his ways straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
You have to think back. What was the best day of your life? Single best day. Think back on that. What was it? Was it maybe that day you got the acceptance to the school that you really wanted to attend? Or maybe was it that day you met the love of your life? Or maybe that the two of you got engaged or even married? Maybe it was that wedding where you were surrounded by friends and family and people you loved. Maybe it was a celebration, a graduation, or maybe a retirement or an award ceremony. Sometime you felt this profound sense of connection with other people at a time that marked a shift or an accomplishment. Some way you felt linked to others. Maybe it was that time you finally got to see your favorite band live in concert. You were there at the Rose Bowl watching it all take place. You were there singing along with others who knew the words by heart as well. What was your best day ever? Well, I know my niece Olivia's answer to this question, and I asked her if she would give me permission to share it with all of you, and she said I could. The day was November 27th, 2021. Olivia was a freshman at University of Michigan, and she was at the football stadium in Ann Arbor that has been nicknamed the Big House. She was surrounded by more than 111,000 other screaming fans, most of them wearing the colors of blue and gold, or blue and yellow, to mark them as University of Michigan Wolverines fans cheering for their football team. And after enduring months of home quarantine, can you imagine what it would like to suddenly be filled, surrounded by 110,000 people in that stadium? They sang the Michigan fight song, "Hail to the victors valiant, hail to the conquering heroes, hail to Michigan, the leaders and the best." She was gathered with people from all over the nation and certainly over that particular region to witness the game. The game, that is what it is called each year when University of Michigan plays against the Ohio State Buckeyes. The two had faced off in the game every year since 1918, save one year, 2020, the year of the pandemic. But then 2021, the game was back and Olivia was there. Ohio State was favored to win by 8 points, and they had won the last 8 times these two teams had played each other. But on November 27th, 2021, was neck and neck through the first 2 quarters. Then after halftime, when it had been even, roughly even, Buckeyes 13, Wolverines 14, Michigan pulled ahead and never let up. When the final whistle was blown, the scoreboard read Michigan 42, Ohio State 27. I remember watching on TV as crowds of Michigan fans rushed on the field. There were tears of joy, screams, elation. And apparently right at that time, Olivia called my sister, her mother, and said, "Mom, this is the best day of my life." And you could see why she would say that, right? I actually got to see her at a recent family reunion, and I said, "Olivia, would you still say that?" Can you guess what she said? Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. After months of quarantine, months of missing the full embodied presence of other people, to be joined in spirit like one tribe, wearing blue and gold, to be part of one school that united all of you and had accepted you, had accepted Olivia into their number, a school that had been around for 2 centuries. She got to join in that history, to be a part of it, to be a part of the story unfolding live while she was there, a story with a future. She was a part of it, joined with others as they would cry in agony if a team missed a third down conversion and erupt in joy when they made a touchdown. It might well make you say, "This was the best day of my life." Now, with the injury last week suffered by DeMar Hamlin, this country was reminded of how dangerous a sport football is for participants. And so a vibrant conversation is taking place right now as to whether football is the right game to be serving such a significant role in connecting people of a particular college or region. An interesting question. But there's no question that football does play such a role for many. And contests like the game speak to a yearning we all have to be part of a story bigger than ourselves, a story with history and crowds and drama and community where we know for one day, for 1 hour at least, we are not alone. I suspect that's one of the things that led so many people out to be there, to physically be in that area, to see this wild desert preacher named John the Baptist. I bet it was this yearning to be part of a story bigger than the isolated self stuck in your home or just with you and your family. So they went out in droves. Maybe it was in part the stadium where this great show took place. It was a place that drew people out from the city of Jerusalem and the broader region of Judea to see John. Sure, the venue was not dubbed the Big House like the Ann Arbor Stadium has been dubbed. Instead, it was called the wilderness, where people went to see John. But that place, the wilderness, had history. Football games might not have been played there, but drama had certainly taken place in that stadium called the Wilderness Drama in the history of this team that went by various names, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the people of Israel, the people of God. The wilderness, that had been the site of the great victory when this team had emerged out of slavery and known liberation in the wilderness. It had been where God's people were tried and tested, where they had to endure the Hunger Games and see if they could rise to the test and challenge of the commandments of God. One day they hung their heads in defeat before a golden calf. Other days they rose up in victory. The wilderness was the stadium for God's people. The Jordan River, that too was where God's people faced a great test in the wilderness under a coach named Joshua. They came to the Jordan River and had to be tested as to whether they could cross from the wilderness into the promised land. They crossed the Jordan River, and it was a victorious moment. Many probably said of that day, it was the best day of our lives. In later years, that stadium called the wilderness would be where prophets like Elijah and Elisha led popular uprisings against the rule and house of King Ahab. In today's passage, we read about how a new head coach arrived at that old stadium, the wilderness, and man, did this arrival bring in the crowds. This great team called God's people had known a series of tough seasons. They'd known a lot of losses. They'd known occupation for years by the Roman Empire. Leaders had emerged on their team that overpromised and undelivered, leaders like the Sadducees and Pharisees. But now a new head coach called John the Baptist was in the house, and you had to be there at the Wilderness Stadium. A football team, after all, is not the only thing that can draw a crowd. A galvanizing figure like John the Baptist can do that. Think, if you will, of the political rallies of our day. How many people gather from different regions, from all over the place, all over the nation even, to hear a particular political figure speak. And how, if they're wearing the same colors or holding the same banners, part of the same party, can feel like they are part of one tribe, a particular people with a past, a present, and a hopeful future. They can have something to fight and rally around. Think of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom back in 1963. People gathered from all over, drawn by figures like the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. to gather in that historic stadium that is Washington, D.C., where the game of political change is played. They gathered at the waters of the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool. Between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument, like people in John the Baptist's time gathered at the Jordan River. Together, gathered there, they knew they were not alone in the struggle of life, the struggle under social sins like racial and economic injustice, that each of them was not an isolated self, but part of a people with a rich history. And yes, there's defeat and pain and struggle and sin in the story. But there's also a promise of solidarity and dreams. There was something to fight for. They sang fight songs like "We Shall Overcome." And some surely said of August 28, 1963, it was the best day of my life. And so, back in first century Palestine, in the wilderness of the Jordan River, a great rally was held where you had the chance to hear a riveting speaker. A larger-than-life figure that promised social and political change now, a promising future of justice and mercy. Oh, he was the stuff of legend. He was like the one Isaiah the prophet had spoken of when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." This guy wore clothes of the great prophet Elijah, camel's hair with a leather belt. With this guy and his words, it was like the very hopes of heaven had come down and touched the people gathered there, and you felt it like it was the best day ever. Here's how Jan Brueghel painted that day when John the Baptist preached back in the 16th century. John the Baptist is right up over to the left, And I love that depiction of crowds gathered around him. There was John. You got to join with others in repenting the past, personal sin, social sin, all of it. You got to lay it out there and be free of it. As one, you were washed in the River Jordan and wet from the waters alongside others who were joined with you. You emerged in the hope of a new day. You were committed to taking on that great test of God's people, the test of the Ten Commandments, the test of loving God and neighbor, the test of doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. And you would prevail, or so you must have felt. Damp with those waters, surrounded by others, inspired by the Baptist's preaching. Often in such gatherings, the enemies of the movement get named. You know, when you go to an event, a big rally, often the opponents get named, and it was no exception at the John the Baptist rally out in the wilderness. The Sadducees and Pharisees were called out by name. He called them, "You brood of vipers, show with your actions, not your words, the fruit of repentance." If you came to see drama, you got it with John. But the most dramatic moment came when he began to talk of someone even greater than himself, someone who he wasn't even worthy to stoop down and untie their sandals. He spoke of someone who would be coming, would not just baptize with water, but with Holy Spirit and fire. And then, that very person walked on the stage. Imagine being there at that time. Jesus from Galilee came forward, and John pointed to him, made it clear this was the one. He said, "Why do you come to be baptized by me? I should be baptized by you." This was the one. And then you'll remember Jesus replied, "It's right to do this. This is the way to fulfill all righteousness." And so John baptized Jesus there, as I imagine it, with crowds surrounding him. And when Jesus was baptized, we read that the heavens opened and he saw the Spirit descend like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." A daughter who was there with her mother might well have turned to her at that moment and said, this is the best day of my life. If you think back to your best day, I bet somehow, some way, it marked your relatedness to others. It wasn't just you and the world, or you alone, that your best day probably served in some way as a connecting link with other people. It reminded you you had family and friends linked to you. You were part of a story with them, and you felt that in that moment, that great day, that graduation where you felt joined with others in a common experience, or the big game where you sensed for one day at least you were not alone, self floating in the universe. You were part of a people with a past, present, and future. You were a team with others who were getting tested. And with God's help, you would meet that challenge. You had met that challenge on that great day. Well, the day Jesus was baptized must have been like that kind of day for the Jewish people, longing for freedom from Roman occupation. They were longing for leadership that was far more faithful than that of the Pharisees or Sadducees, this people that had cried out for prophets in their time, like Elijah of old. They'd surely longed for that feeling we all crave, to know we're beloved by God and by others, received, accepted for who we are, and received into a great community, a cloud of witnesses. They'd long for justice. And then that day in the wilderness stadium where Jesus was baptized by John, that future seemed to descend from the heavens, and you had to be there. You would have said, "It was the best day of my life." And you were there, weren't you? You and I were both there. When we join with Christ by faith, when we receive Christ's call and claim on our lives, when we're baptized with Christ. We're baptized into the Christian community. We're connected with Christ as those great words from heaven ring out, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Those words are for us, for you, for me, who are joined with Christ in baptism and received his call and claim on us and we're made God's children, part of a family, a tribe, a people, a team, clothed with Christ, clothed with his righteousness, God then declares to you, as God did over Christ, this is my daughter, this is my son, the beloved. With this one, I am well pleased. Maybe that's precisely what Jesus meant when he said those enigmatic words, we must do this, I must be baptized by you, John, to fulfill all righteousness. Maybe that pointed to the fact that we who would be joined with Christ by faith would be made righteous by the life given for us. We've been accepted, each one of us, into that great school with not just a 200-year history like the University of Michigan students have when they join, but a more than 3,000-year history. It's a story of grief and pain, joy and delight, a story of oppression and freedom, defeat and victory. We step into all of that in the waters of baptism, become one with one another and Christ. You were there. You were there when Christ was baptized, and so you can say with believers across time and space, that was the best day of my life. It seems to me so often we forget that relational context of the baptism of Jesus, how he was baptized in and for community. But there are powerful depictions in art of that. Many of the depictions you find in art are like this from a contemporary artist. It's powerful, the sense of Jesus rising from the water, but do you notice what's missing? People. John the Baptist and the community that surrounded him. Sure, there's a sense of the glory at that moment as Jesus rises from the water, but where is the community? There are other artists who highlight John baptizing Jesus, sculptors, like Francesco Mochi from back in 1634, powerful, but we still don't see other people around. And it doesn't communicate that communal quality when Jesus was baptized. So I love it when artists bring this out, like this piece called Christus Rex, or Christ the King, from 1519. It was painted by Italian artist Raphael. And he imagined that moment as a great community gathering, people baptized along with Jesus to the left, angels and perhaps prophets to the right. It was a grand community across time, earth, and heaven, all connected in that moment when Jesus was baptized. It's a great relational affair. And I like the idea of this African piece where intergenerational crowds are gathered on the shore as Jesus is baptized by John in the waters. And I imagine there's even greater crowds that we don't see over to the left, a mass throng who are part of the celebration, maybe singing songs with each other when that great moment took place. Well, each Sunday, friends, we get to gather in this little stadium called Knox Presbyterian Church Sanctuary. We get to do it each week, and we celebrate that we were not baptized into isolation or a private relationship with our God. We were baptized into community. We stand and sit and sing alongside others, and we remember we're not alone. We can take on this contest of faith. We confess sin. We hear God's word and call. We commit to follow where God leads. We come together with other students at this great school called Christian Discipleship. It has more than just that 200-year history of a school like University of Michigan. It goes all the way back to that time Jesus was baptized by John in the wilderness and back even further to the story of the people of Israel. Here we sing fight songs, fighting against the false messages of our day that we're alone and unloved and without hope. So we sing, we are the sons. We are the daughters of God. We sing, baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, cleansed by the blood of Christ our King, heirs of salvation, trusting his promise. Faithfully now, God's praises we sing. We were baptized with Christ, and here we get to remember that. you were there on that great day. And I hope and pray as you remember it now and each Sunday, you can know that was your day. You can claim it, the best day of our lives. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for the baptism of Jesus. Thank you for calling and claiming us as your own in Christ. Thank you for the connection we can know in him. Equip us for the challenges ahead. May we be part of your work of love and justice, mercy and peacemaking. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.